I seem to always be mining precious metals from Paul's speech, his address on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. And one of these words has jumped out at me lately, and I want to share this with you. And the reason I come up with these things is that most of them are practical. It's not that I go out seeking the character of God. I'd like to think I'm that noble, but many times it's you're looking for answers to the puzzles of life. You're looking for some kind of comfort or solace in the teeth of a trial. And so by finding out answers to these things, you end up finding about the character of God, discovering things about it that you didn't know before. And so, once again, Paul would not have written Galatians except he was furious about the Galatians accepting the testimony of the circumcisionists. There was a reason for it. It was inspired by a problem. And so because of the problem, we get revelation. Because of problems, Paul writes several of his letters. Philippians is a letter written about behavior. 1 Corinthians, obviously, you know, there are many problems with the Corinthians. And Paul uses that as a excuse to give out great revelation. So he's not necessarily sitting down to say, I think I'm going to write a letter today. I wonder what I'm going to write about. And he's never saying that to himself. I wonder what I'm going to write about. He always pretty much has a firm idea based on life's circumstances, curveballs, issues, people, problems, antagonists coming at Paul, inspiring his pen. And so for us, these trials have brought us together, right? I mean, we're in the body of Christ because of trial. We didn't sign up for this. We've all been in organized religions of some kind, most of us. And so we didn't find answers before we did find answers, right? And this really touches on my topic today, which is groping. And no, I'm not talking about sexual predators here. I'm talking about a inspired word that Paul used here in Acts chapter 17, speaking of humanity. And this is true of all of us, and only God can cause this. Although it is a source of great frustration to me, which brings me to you today on this topic of groping. Yes, going around like this. Watch the studio cam in the dark, trying this way, trying that way, going to the left, going to the right. I grew up with a neighbor, Barb Fole, and she was blind. So I grew up with a blind person. That was instructive for me. And I always remember her going like this and she put her hand on my face and felt it. And it's like the blind men of Indostan, you know, who feel different parts of the elephant, try to discern what's happening. And on this planet, we are not illuminated upon exiting the womb. Even Jesus himself had to learn. He got experience through the things that he suffered, and he became educated as he went through his life. And he himself groped, I believe, for his purpose, not realizing at his birth that he was the Messiah. He didn't realize anything at his birth. Did you realize anything at your birth? Can you remember your birth? No. So Jesus Christ was so humbled that he is groping, finding his purpose. And some of you, as you listen to me, you're still groping for your purpose. You're trying to find, why am I here? Maybe you know you're in the body of Christ, but that's not good enough for you. You want specifics. You want to know what you can do to fix your health, or what you can do to find a different job. Or maybe you don't know what you really want to do. You're in a dead-end job. You don't like it. And you think, I wish I could do something different, but I don't exactly know what it is. And so you try different things. You try this, you try that, and you end up failing at this, failing at that, and then maybe down the road you find that sweet spot. I mean, Thomas Edison tried 100 different filaments or more before he found the right filament for his light bulb. Maybe it was 1,000. He says, I don't look at it as failing 1,000 times. I look at it as finding 1,000 things that don't work. Or finding, you know, yeah. And then the next thing was the thing. So it was a series of discoveries, and it's groping. And God has us, even members of the body of Christ who are illuminated with the Spirit of God, even we ourselves are groping at times through life. And to me, as a member of the body of Christ, this is one of the most humiliating things to have to experiment, because you know there's a silver bullet. You know darn well that there's one thing that's the perfect thing for you to do in every situation. For instance, I have this feeling that I'm going to go up to heaven and I'm going to complain to God about my little issues. You know, it's like, I couldn't get rid of this extra fat, or I had this sore knee, or I had this, and God's going to say, B12. B12. That's all you had to do, was take 5,000 milligrams of B12 a day. And I will say, why didn't you tell me that? That would have been helpful information. And God will just kind of like, you'd have to hide this little smirk. And I'd be, what are you doing to me? And it was this, Zender, I wanted you to grope. I didn't want you to find that magic thing. I didn't want you to have the perfect solution to your problem, because you needed a little bit of grit in your life. You needed to be that pearl in the shell with the sand that irritates it and polishes it. I hate those cute little stories. I especially hate it when they're so apropos, as that one is. The irritant in the clam. Is that what it is? An oyster. I don't know what that is. They're all mollusks of some kind, right? The oyster and the pearl. And there's always some sand in there. It's an irritant that polishes it. And so, with that happy little example, we launch into our text of Acts chapter 17. And let's start with verse 24. This is Paul on Mars Hill in approximately the year 56 AD. The God who makes the world and all that is in it. He, the Lord, inherent of heaven and earth, is not dwelling in temples made by hands, neither is he attended by human hands as if requiring anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all. Besides, he makes out of one every nation of humanity to be dwelling on all the surface of the earth, specifying the setting of the seasons and the bounds of their dwelling for them to be seeking God, if consequently they may surely grope for him and may be finding him. This is so rich as I'm reading this. Groping and may be finding him, though to be sure, not far from each one of us is he inherent, for in him we are living and moving and are. So here we have a picture of a God who's near yet far. Paul says he's not far from all of us, and yet he does specify certain things: the setting of our seasons, the dwelling, the bounds of our dwelling. So very specifically puts us places. So the God who is able to put us exactly where he wants us on this planet, in our families, in the state or the country we are in, would be able to align us perfectly with the knowledge that we need vitamin B12, and that will solve all our problems. Or don't go to that doctor, go to that naturopath and have him put those two needles in this part of your elbow, because that's going to solve all your problems. Or eat Campbell's chicken soup because the other brand of chicken soup is poison. Or when you're reaching for the shelf for a can of food, one is contaminated, one isn't, and God makes your hand reach for the contaminated one. How many different examples can you think of where you have so many decisions? It's hard to go to a restaurant, isn't it, where the menu is the size of the Magna Carta or the Declaration of Independence. You have all these choices. It's almost like, I just rather go to a place like Midas Muffler. You don't go to Midas Muffler to get your brakes fixed. No, you go to Midas Muffler to get, wait for it, your muffler fixed. And so with all these choices, you always want God to guide your hand. And I'm thinking back now, when I got a major computer purchase. This was maybe 10 years ago. And I told him what I wanted. I wanted whatever it was, HP or I don't know. And I said, and he was going to reach for, there's all sorts of boxes on the shelf with my same brand of computer. And I knew that there was one box that had the perfect computer for me. And this is my work. This is my livelihood. This is the tool with which I glorify God. So surely God would want me to glorify him with the best computer up there. So I told the guy, I said, pick the best one. And this is like a lottery, except God knows the choice. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, God has given me fairly stable equipment, but I'm pretty sure I did not get the best computer there. And I'm pretty sure that there is probably things I could be using and knowledge that I could have. Oh, have you ever, like, been struggling with your computer and you do some kind of function and you take three or four steps and then somebody walks up and says, oh, don't you know, you just hit Option F or Control Z, and then it's like, what? What? Like, for instance, people don't know about Control Z, or on your Mac, Command Z, the undo feature. So you're highlighting text with your mouse and deleting it when you just go, you can blip, blip. Why didn't anybody show me that? There are many features I'm learning now on InDesign that I wonder, where's this been for the last 8 years since I've been using InDesign? And so God has cleverly kept these shortcuts from me so that I could struggle, because Paul called the announcement of this evangel a vast struggle. Where would my struggle be if I knew all the shortcuts? I desperately want to know them. I want some, I know there are places I can learn, but sometimes I stubbornly I'll just hack through it my way. Sometimes I'm stubborn that way, even though there's a shortcut. I'm going to do it old school. Old school. I mean, I thought cut and paste meant cut and paste. When computers first came out, and I first got my Radio Shack computer in 1993, I heard phrases like cut and paste, and I thought it came with a pair of scissors and a bottle of paste. I swear to God, I thought that. So, I'm convinced that an inch away from our grasp at the health store is the perfect vitamin or the perfect mineral, like magnesium. Magnesium may cure what you have, but you don't know that, do you? No. But the God of the universe, who places us where he wants us, who sets our seasons and the bounds of our dwelling, surely this God could direct our hand, it sounds like an easy thing for him, to the bottle of magnesium, but he doesn't. He makes us grab the bottle of zinc. And zinc is going to make us worse, not better. But somebody told us that zinc is the answer. Why did God send that deluded person to tell us that zinc is what we needed when it was magnesium that we needed? This is where you have to realize that your life must be ragged. And you're not going to get that little sweet spot answer. Once in a while it happens. And when that drops into place, my God, it's like a needle falling onto the song Louie Louie. Alleluia. Oh, baby, is that the beta? Who can understand the lyrics of that song? But it's one of the most perfect rock and roll songs. And when the needle hits that groove on your old vinyl, it's like, ah, oh, that's the sweet spot, baby. But let me tell you, that happens so rarely in this life that you cannot expect it. Once you don't expect it, you can survive. You can pass through your days with some degree of rest and consolation, knowing that it's supposed to be ragged, and that I'm not going to find that magic bullet, the silver bullet that's going to solve my problems, even though it's so near. It's so near. And so he gives all life and breath and all. So he gives us what we need in order to struggle. And he makes us, he gives us our different places where we're to live for them to be seeking God. So he does all this so that these people, all humanity can seek after God. But look at the world. How many people actually do seek after God? So he sets humanity, Paul says mankind, he's talking about all humanity here, so that they may be seeking God. And humanity out there is doing it. And they're doing a very poor job of it because God isn't giving it to them. He's hiding it from them. Remember? Surely thou art a God who hides thyself. He's hiding himself from Israel. He hardens Israel's heart. Perfect example. Their Messiah is standing right next to them and they cannot recognize him. So right within their grasp, he was the quote magnesium that they needed to cure themselves as a nation. And they reached for Barabbas instead. They wanted Barabbas. Here's the choice on the shelf, Jesus or Barabbas. Which one should we release? Which one should we crucify? Release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Ouch, that was the wrong choice. Could there be any choice more wrong than that? No. And yet God guided their hand to do it because so few can find. But they're still groping. And so they may surely grope for him. Look at this word. If consequently, they may surely grope for him. So the world is surely groping for God in the form of what of drugs, sex, rock and roll. They're groping for God. And they're not finding it. That's why we need to feel so blessed. Okay, so you can't find the right nutrients. So you can't get the perfect exercise to get rid of your fat on your abs. But look what you do have. God has caused you to find the Savior, to find the truth. God has caused you to come out of the confusion and the delusion and to find the light. I think we should be content with that. I know at least I'm telling myself that. Zender, be content with being a member of the body of Christ.